My name's Doug McCambridge, and welcome to Plaincast, Episode 5, I Saw the Devil. So with me for this episode on loan from Criterion Close-Up, Mr. Mark Herney. Mark, thanks for jumping on with me.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on, Doug. I'm glad you put the invite out there. It's a pleasure to kind of turn the tables. You've been on Criterion Close-Up, so, you know, I'm guesting on your podcast this time.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, this is it feels odd to be in charge, let's say, quote-unquote, right. In charge. It's nice. Yeah. When I'm on with you guys, I get to shut down at the end, just send you the files, and that's
right.
That. I
and
don't have
done.
To think about it, and whatever you guys cut out, go
no
for
hosting,
it.
No editing, no, none of that, but yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a good time. Thanks for having me on.
All right, no problem. So you're with me to talk about Plain Archive Spine Number 5. I Saw the Devil from 2010, directed by Kim Ji-woon. And if I am butchering these names,
it's tough.
You
Doug.
Correct me.
I'll do my best, but it's tough. The names are difficult. They don't translate to English that well us. So
it is difficult. So certainly, if people listening know the pronunciation, I apologize because I'm sure it's terrible. So, Mark, as the guest, would you please provide our listeners with a brief synopsis of this film?
Sure. So, I tend to kind of go by what IMDb says. And IMDb says it's a secret agent exacts revenge on a serial killer through a series of captures and releases. So, and yeah, catch and release film. I mean, it's really a... You can call it a serial killer film. You can call it a revenge tale. You can call it really violent and gory and difficult to watch. It's certainly all of those things. But we have the characters. I'll try to go for it. Kim Si-young, Soo Young, and Kyung Kool, who are the two main characters. The only two I'm really going to mention.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's actually. Chul is the last name.
Yes.
But.
I think I'll just refer to him as Chul and then maybe Soo-hyun. I think that might be the best way to do it is to take portions of the names.
Right. I tried to look at pronunciations too, but you know, you couldn't find them for the main protagonist there, Kim. But Ki-young Chul, I believe it is our bad guy. But
yes.
Maybe we have two bad guys in this film. That's really the thing, you know. I mean, you asked about the synopsis, and we really have we have a serial killer who is a killer of women, and you know he does other things to them, of course. And he tracks down the fiance of Kim Soo-young, who he kills very early on, and then it's really a cat and mouse from there about Kim really exacting revenge on Ki-young Chul throughout the rest of the film.
And that's what this film's about. I mean, it's sort of this odd subgenre, and I know it might not be, you know, they call it South Korean, I guess, vengeance films. Right. And you have something like this, and you have the Vengeance trilogy with Old Boy and Lady Vengeance and Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. And I think even another film, one that Plain Archive put out called The King of Pigs, I think that could be seen as a vengeance film as well.
Oh, really? So, okay. I haven't seen that.
Yeah. And so it is a subgenre, and it seems popular in South Korea. The thing that I really. When I first saw this film, and I don't know what your viewing history is. We can certainly get into that. The thing that I took away from this, or as I watched it, I thought, this makes perfect sense. The thing that always bothered me about revenge films is, and this is probably my Western point of view, is you have the hero. The entire film is spent tracking down the villain. In the end, bullet through the villain's head or something like that. Done.
And credits.
Neat and tidy.
Yep,
exactly. And when the two main characters, when our hero and villain meet, 40 minutes into this movie, I remember thinking, wait, what? This is right. a 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah, it's epic. What's going to happen after this? It's an epic film too. Yeah, it's pretty long. I mean, typically you'd think of a film like this would be an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you could even think of films like Mix of Silence of the Lambs, of course, with the serial killer
sure.
Aspect to it. But also, I love how you get the different viewpoints of the two characters. Mm-hmm. You're not just seeing the story from one character's viewpoint. You're seeing both of their stories, and we really kind of see. I think we see Chung-Kul's viewpoint even more so than any of the other characters, kind of where he's coming from, a little bit of, you don't get a lot of background on the characters. Mm-hmm. You do see his family, but you get that kind of insight to him. So,
yeah. And I think you're right in that we do follow the antagonist a bit more, and maybe mm-hmm. that's because our hero is tracking him. So it is kind of neat.
That makes sense. See. Yeah.
Yeah. So we sort of track his moves as the hero does as well. So I think the biggest thing with this film is that, and it's stated in the film, the only issue I have with this film overall is some of the writing, the fact that they kind of hit you over the head as a viewer about you have to become a monster to kill a monster, or you shouldn't become a monster to kill a monster. And I get it. When characters flat out state that, I thought it was a bit redundant. Do you agree that that's what this film is about?
I think on very early, like on maybe a first viewing, mm-hmm. And maybe even seeing it a second time, you could go that way. I think a lot of people may love or hate this film. I don't think that's really necessarily what it's about. I think surface level it is. And like you said, it does kind of hit you over the head with it. So if that's really all it's about, then it doesn't really... It probably isn't going to resonate for you as an audience member. And I did see some other takes on this, actually going back to 2010 when it came out. Of course, I listened to Film Spotting and Matt Singer, who was on he's part of Screen Crush now. And he had a very positive take on the film. He called it kind of Hitchcockian and even compared it to a Psycho with those two kind of varying, you know, viewpoints that I mentioned. But the Film Spotting hosts, not so much. They weren't on board. They just couldn't. They found it, you know, like you said, they had just seen it once, one note, didn't really see, you know, not a lot of depth to the characters. And I think they probably felt bludgeoned. I mean, I think as an audience member, you could feel bludgeoned for the almost 2.5 hours.
Yeah. And I feel like if this is something you don't like, I could see how people could lump this in with torture porn.
Right.
I
mean, right. Exactly.
The violence is so extreme. And the camera at times does cut away.
Mm-hmm.
But for other moments,
other times it doesn't. Yeah.
You see everything that's going on in this film.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's sort of a rape scene in here, which might be tough for viewers,
mm-hmm.
as well as the harsh and brutal, a lot of blunt instrument violence, yep. which is what I noticed in this. Not much hacking and slashing, but a lot right. of blunt instruments in this.
Yeah.
Film.
Yeah. It's just brutal. And it doesn't, you know, like you said, doesn't cut away. And I laud it for that. I mean, you could, yeah. like you mentioned, you know, torture porn, people may mm-hmm. go that way. I appreciate films that, do, you know, kind of put it in your face sometimes. I mean, it's nice when a film is subtle and may pull away or you don't see the violence. But other times, I think a film like this can be audacious, and I think mm-hmm. it's right to show the violence, to show the effects of, you know, this psychopathic man that has no conscience, mm-hmm. really, and, you know, what delving into that kind of violence does to I guess you can call him our protagonist. You know, I kind of think of, you know, we do have these two,
yeah, sure.
These two characters, but it's like, you know, something I was thinking about just a little while ago, Doug, was in thinking about these characters, and I'll just call him Kim because that's his first name.
Sure.
Is, you know, you could even make parallels. I hate to go to Star Wars, but it came to mind where, you know, someone like Kim, he embraces. You can think of it as the dark side in Star Wars, right? He embraces it, believing that he is actually doing good by embracing this dark side of himself, you right. know, and committing these acts of violence. And I kind of wrestle with what he is getting out of it? Is it some kind of catharsis? Can he, is it the only way that he can deal with it? Mm-hmm. Is he doing it because he can, because he's well trained, you know, and he has the ability to do so? I don't know if you really get a complete sense of why yeah. he does it, which is, you know, maybe that's which interesting. Maybe you can wrestle with that. Yeah,
exactly. Because I think it's all of those things. Mm-hmm. And he has the means to track this guy. He has the training to basically be able to beat the hell out of this guy whenever he wants to.
Right.
And like you said, yeah, it's the sort gadgets. Of this, and yeah, it's sort of this cathartic release as well, I'm sure. Yeah. And I'm sure it does deep down make him feel good every time he can beat him within an inch of his life.
Right.
Release him.
Release
and
him.
Then go do it again. Now, we soon find out it doesn't work out the way that he hopes it will.
Right.
And
part of the point, I guess.
And I don't even want to get into the end quite yet because yep. I think that there's so much to talk about then. But you do hear criticisms of this film. You do hear criticisms of the violence. And I think I've also heard criticisms of the repetition, like you said, with the catch and release, with the right. cat and mouse. And I don't think that it ever feels repetitious. And I almost feel like we need that. We need those multiple scenes to show what this process is for him. If it was just one scene of him getting him in the hospital and then what, we just fast forward to the end or something like
right.
that?
Right. Yeah, you're right. Even two scenes just wouldn't be quite enough.
Sure.
You know,
sure,
for what,
exactly.
Yeah.
The one segment of the film that I wasn't 100% on board with is when Chul sort of stops in to visit his serial-killing cannibal buddy. That was a bit odd to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that was odd. I like that character, and I like the mm-hmm. fact that, you know, he does he is a victim of the violence too. You know, you kind of see a pattern here between the two characters. There's some interesting in the deleted scenes too that I'm not sure if they're on the plain disc, but they mm-hmm. are on the magnet release. You know, in the U.S., there are some deleted scenes, mostly mm-hmm. a lot of them actually from that particular scene. There's a longer sex scene that's cut out that was in the theatrical cut, I believe, mm-hmm. but not in the international cut. And there's another, you know, some additional scenes in there, too. So, I kind of like that. I mean, it's almost this film has a bit of black comedy to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
So, you know, I think that scene with the, you know, the cannibal kind of gets into that a little bit. So I guess maybe I like that kind of release as it comes, you know, about 2/3 into the film that we do get that different character. And, oh, here's someone, you know, new to torture.
Yeah, I do like how they do occasionally throw new characters in there. And I'm not saying you ever root for Chul, but when he gets picked up in the taxi with those two guys that I assume are there to rob him, mm-hmm. I thought that was just a wonderful scene because
oh, yes.
it's there's no one to root for in this film. I mean, you can right. root for Kim, and truth be told, I think I rooted for Kim the entirety of the film.
I'm with you, Doug.
I know that his character shifted. And I mm-hmm. know that everything he's doing is wrong. And boy, if he, you know, in the end is responsible for the deaths, perhaps we're not quite sure about his future father-in-law, but
right.
he is responsible for that in the end. He's as yep. responsible as Chul is in the end, but I never saw him as a bad guy, you know, because in the end, and again, we're fast forwarding to the end here. And also we didn't say off the top spoilers, but by this time, everybody should know this is going to be spoiled. Mm-hmm. The way that he deals in the final scene when he's walking away from yeah. that house or shack or whatever, and it's a great shot too, and the cinematography in this film is phenomenal.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
The yeah. opening scene where he's dragging her through the snow, her dead body, and just the trail yeah. of blood.
Yeah.
It's the most amazingly lovely murder scene right. I guess I've
just,
ever seen
just
on
gorgeously
film.
Awful it's yeah. yeah it's yeah it's such an I mean there's so many that I was thinking of, like that scene, which is the title mm-hmm. scene where I saw the devil comes on the screen and the snow's falling. I'm oh. like, boy, this would have been gorgeous in 3D. You know, you want to oh. pick a you know, at least a shot that would have looked good in 3D.
And I don't know when you first saw this, but this was on Netflix for the longest time. I think that's where I first saw it.
And, okay.
You know, you're in your living room. I don't care how big your TV is. I'm sure that in the cinema, this film looked absolutely phenomenal.
Still looked amazing. Yeah, I think I saw Blu-ray both times, and it's amazing. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous Blu-ray. I don't know what camera they used, but yeah, the cinematography is top notch. I mean, it's the even to the you talked about the opening. I love the opening scene, which is just, you know, starts in the car and you get these two eyes. It's like those prowling eyes. It's like he's driving the van. You don't know it at the time, but he's driving a van, and it's like he's a panther. It looks like a panther on the screen. He can even – it's even got a you know, like a Black Panther. It's got a little mouth on the bottom. It's perfect. It's perfect. And you even get a shot of the there's a policeman that drives by, you know, like a missed opportunity. You know, I just love the way the whole thing. I mean, probably for the first 20 minutes – is just amazing and shocking. I mean, you know, you get the, you know, the layer upon layer of shock early on that really gives you a sense of what you're in for with this movie, because, you know, you get the killing in the car at first, but then, you know, you cut to, you know, her just naked body there in plastic. And it's just at every turn, it's not quite what you expected. It just sets you on edge. So
I really appreciate it. I mean, and again, very early on, he's beating this woman. He's torturing her, of course, and you have a feeling he's going to kill her. But when she begs for her life by saying that she's pregnant, and that he doesn't even react to that.
There, doesn't register.
There's nothing on his face. There's no change of expression. He's going to do what he's going to do.
Right.
And from that moment on, he is a horrible person. He's a horrible character that you as a viewer, I don't think, can relate to, and you can't understand him, where I think you can understand Kim and you can understand his motivations. So again, that's why in the end, I do have sympathy for him, or empathy for him.
Yeah, I'm glad you got back to that, because I did want to mention, you know, how you were sympathetic to Kim, and he is – I agree. I think – I mean, I even read a little bit where – I think it's in the essay that saying that he is a despicable character throughout the film. And I think you could certainly see it that way. I didn't. And I don't know if it's because I can relate to the guy. If I had those skills, I would want to do the same thing. I have a wife. I have a daughter. And, you know, if this kind of thing happened to one of them, I'd want to do the exact same thing that he's doing. I don't know if I'd bring it to that level. I probably couldn't, you know, catch and release as much as he does. But you'd want to make that person, you know, hurt. So
certainly,
yeah, I can relate.
So let's get into the end of the film, because I think if we're going to talk about his character and sort of the relationships between the two of them, or what they have in common and what is different about them. We have to talk about how this film ends. And we may have two different takes on this, so I'd kind of like to hear your perspective. But
sure.
I'll start, I guess. After all this catch and release, and after Chol finally exacts revenge by sort of destroying, killing, harming the rest of his family, he finally decides that he's going to kill Chol. He rigs up basically a guillotine. It's odd. It's like a portion of Saw came into this movie, and you know, Jigsaw came in to set this up. But
I want to play a game.
That's right. But before this, he talks to Chol's family. He meets with them to find out a little more about him.
Right.
And he finds
out that's pretty early, too, if I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And he finds out that he abandoned his family, but also his son. So in the end, when he breaks him up to this machine, when he puts a rope in his mouth and the rope's attached to the door, which is attached to the guillotine. So if somebody comes in, it'll chop his head off. So Kim arranges for Chol's family, his estranged family, young son and his two parents, to come and basically commit the murder, trying to get into the room.
Right.
In my reading of that, and Kim states this a few times, is that he wants Chol to feel the pain that his fiance went through. But I think at some point he realizes that that's impossible. He can't. Chol doesn't care. He even says at one point, you want to hurt me? You can't hurt me. I don't feel pain. You know? So I think in the end, he wants Chul to feel how he felt. Does that make sense?
Hmm.
With Chul then understands that by almost being responsible for his murder, his family is going to be destroyed.
Right.
His young son is going to just be ruined for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read it that way, or am I?
No, totally that's a good point. I didn't. It's funny. I think you're absolutely right, because that's really, he doesn't feel, Chul doesn't feel. So the only way he can get him is to make his family feel, which makes him, you know, if you think of it that way, that does make him less of a likable character. We were just talking about him, you know, being a likable character. But at the end of the film, I guess I thought of it as, I think that's a great point, but I just thought of it as a release, you know, that he finally turns the tables a little bit on Chul, and that Chul, you know, begs for his life.
Sure.
And we do get the release of Chul, and we also get the release, you know, that final shot of Kim's release too. I mean, he's finally, it's over, and he's got nothing. He's alone. I mean, it's a great shot that it's just after it's finally done, he hears the audio. We just get this. He starts finally to break down and release. We just get this pull away shot that shows, you know, he is absolutely alone at the end of the film. So that's a good reading of it. I think you're right. I mean, that is the closest he could get to hurting him.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it's again a horrible thing that he did, but in the end, his reaction, I think, reinforces my thought, is that he's a sympathetic character. He's not like Chul. He instantly, I'm not sure if he instantly regrets what he did, but the emotion that he displays just when he breaks down and doubles over.
Right.
Chul would never do that. It doesn't matter who he killed. It didn't matter all the women that he killed. If he were to kill children, it wouldn't have bothered him the way that it bothers Kim. And the other thing I think of is it's probably a mix of emotions. He probably finally gets to grieve for his wife. He's not wrapped up in finding the killer.
Exactly.
He probably realizes that his career is over, that he just murdered a man, that he just, you know, put this man's family through hell. I mean, just all of this compounded and just piled on him at the end. It's such a great ending to the film.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I'm glad I didn't, you know, try to go any farther. I mean, it's a long film as it is, but yeah, I agree. I think it's great. One of the themes that I'll mention, again, this comes from the essay, and you know, sometimes you watch a movie and it does resonate with you throughout. This film did resonate with me on both watches. I did have to break it up a little bit the second time, and you know, it's one of those films. It's for, you'd have to be the right person. I couldn't recommend it to everybody, but you know, in the essay that I read, it's the Blood, Guilt, and Tears, The Prickly Thrills of I Saw the Devil. I think it gets to it, and it's pretty appropriate for today with everything that you see on the news. I think any time, but you know, especially now, it seems especially violent these days. And it's, you know, it says how beneath its operatic grisly surface, of course, is an endlessly sad exploration of the way we try to find meaning in life's unfathomable tragedies. Which is, you know, really what this is. It's, you know, a tragedy that seems to have no reasoning. You know, obviously it's done by this just despicable person, but you could relate it to, you know, anything else that might happen to you, like a car crash, or, you know, why did my house burn, or even something similar, you know, something simple that, you know, is a minor accident or something, but, you know, or the big things like, you know, 9/11, or, you know, those major tragedies, you know, mass shootings, you know, why they happen. So I think it's really, you know, that probably distills it the best for me in, you know, again, Kim is trying to find meaning in what was done to, you know, his fiance, and how it affects him, and how he felt. Here's another thing, you know, so helpless. We didn't talk about how helpless he felt, because he was on the phone with her early on, and he didn't know, you know, what had happened at first, but of course he was concerned. He's, you know, he says, wait for the tow truck. And, you know, this man who has these special skills, and you know, if he was there, could have saved her. Couldn't do anything about it. So sure. You know, just that.
Well,
that
even her father. I thought it was mm-hmm. one of the great exchanges in the film when they're sitting down at the table together, and her father says, "I was a police officer, and I couldn't even protect my own family." Mm-hmm. And then you understand, but that's exactly what he's feeling. But just for him to see what the father's going through, I think that also spurs him on to do what he's doing, to feel like he's not just exacting revenge for himself or his wife, but also the family that she left behind.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why would he go through it, really? I mean, it's sometimes you wonder, and then, you know, you have to kind of think back to everyone that's involved, and you know, he causes you know, as you alluded to, the loss of that family you know, later in the film, which just makes it, you know, that much more tragic. It's an interesting mix, isn't it, Doug? I mean, just that, you know, the grisly nature of it, the tragic nature of it, the black comedy of it, you know, there's the scenes that are kind of funny where he's tracking down the potential four perpetrators, you know, it's mm-hmm. between, you know, four possible killers, and you know, he comes across the guy who's masturbating in front of some porn, and mm-hmm. he hits him with a wrench. I mean, that, you know, that's going to hurt anybody, but you know, there's those scenes of black comedy. I think
I love the comedic moment, even when he's singing, when he's in the bathroom singing to his wife, and he just stops when somebody else walks in. I thought that was a great comedic moment, and for as early on as it was, you know, you have those throughout, and I think you had to do that to break it up.
Yeah.
One thing is, you know, and if people haven't seen this film, they just listen to us talk about it. It sounds so dark and so depressing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a difficult watch. I've seen this film several times, and I'll probably watch it several more. It is, for as grim as it is, it's amazingly entertaining. I enjoy the film start to finish. I mean, maybe it's just that I can watch those horrific scenes and not be bothered by them.
Right. And, you know, maybe some people can't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's an enjoyable film, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you have to even if you have a tougher time with those kinds of scenes, the movie it's surprising. It moves along. It's very well constructed. Mm-hmm. I think of the director is very meticulous. You know, the high concept. You can tell this is a well thought out film. It even affects the performances, I think, a little bit. And sometimes, you know, I think even Kim seems a little bit stilted and like he's been kind of through the ringer. I think mm-hmm. of, you know, there have been quite a few takes in a lot of these scenes, which makes sense. I mean, they're set up, they're well set up and well executed. A meticulous director. And, you know, one scene you mentioned, Doug, mm-hmm. That I think is just an incredible scene is the car scene that we have to talk about, where there's a scene where Chol is picked up by the two drivers.
There's a taxi. I don't know. Are we meant to think that the guy in the back is a midnight fare, or I think we are, right?
Yeah, it's hard to say. He looks. They both look like, you know, like they, like you said, were probably going to rob him.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's you're starting to get the sense at this scene that Chol is going to turn to violence at every turn. Mm-hmm. Every interaction with him is going to be violent, and you just get this 360 shot. It's just amazing that. You know, the car spins around as he's, mm-hmm. you know, moving between the two guys and stabbing them. It's amazing to see. Probably the money shot in the film for me.
Oh, I completely agree. And we've talked about three scenes, you know, at length. The scene in the car, though, and the opening shot,
mm-hmm.
as well as the closing shot. Mm. They're three amazing shots, and they're so different. It's almost as though someone else was behind the camera. I mean, that final shot where it's a handheld and it just pulls back, it's the first time in the film that we really see a lot of shaky camera, which looks wildly different than the shot inside the car, which is so stylish. And it's, you know, it's something right out of Children of Men.
Right.
And then the opening shot is just gorgeous, and it's just full frame and you get so much of the environment in the shot.
Mm-hmm.
The film looks fantastic.
Yeah, it does. He really did a good job. I haven't seen anything else from him that I know of.
I believe, seeing these, I believe need to. He directed A Tale of Two Sisters. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have seen that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a while. I don't remember it much. That one and the other one that looks really interesting is The Good, the Bad, and the Weird.
Oh, I saw that as well. I saw that a few years ago. Don't remember it all that much, but I remember enjoying it. So it's very light compared to this film.
Is it? Yes. Yeah, a bit of Sergio Leone maybe.
That's
in there.
Right. Oh, very much so. Yes.
Yeah.
So is there anything else before we wrap up, is there anything else that you want to talk about? Anything else that we haven't touched on that you wanted to bring up?
We probably hit most of it. I mean, mm-hmm. I always have, stuff in my notes. I guess one thing I was going to ask you, cause we are both kind of, pretty positive on this film. Mm-hmm. Anything else that kind of stood out to you as an issue or didn't quite work? I mean, you did mention the scene with the the cannibal, we'll call him,
right? And it wasn't else even
stood out.
It wasn't even as though I didn't enjoy that. That just seemed a little bit out of place, and it mm-hmm. seemed almost ham-fisted in there as, okay, we need something light, we need something goofy, but wow, is that goofy? And man, it takes a bizarre turn when they go down and they see that there's just a woman strapped to a table. But there's some great dialogue there. Like when they're clearly eating human flesh and he says, how can you keep eating this stuff or something like that? It's a great exchange. The guy seems insane, I'm assuming, from eating human flesh.
Right.
So it just seemed out of place. I didn't take issue with the scene. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a different movie it would have made more sense.
It reminded me of Ravenous or something.
That's right, yeah.
Of course.
No, some of the dialogue, like I said, when they were basically spelling out the quote-unquote themes of the film, that
bit,
bothered me.
A bit
me.
Much there, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it could have been, a little bit, mm-hmm. in some cases, a little more, more subtle. But
what about you? Anything that stood out to you?
Not much. I mean, I mentioned the just some of the acting a little bit at times with mm-hmm. Kim. I mean, I think the actor that plays Chul, who is I believe it's Min-sik Choi.
Yes,
he's incredible. I know he was. I think he was in Old Boy, if I remember.
He's the main character. The
main character.
The hero in Old Boy.
The hero, right?
It's a
little
quite
bit of return
turn.
There. Yeah, he's amazing. I mean, there are little things. I was kind of surprised because mm-hmm. the actor, the director, is so meticulous. Getting back to the car scene where, Chul has had his hand hurt during the previous scene, and he seems to be able to use it pretty well his advantage in that scene, which is a little bit of a continuity thing. But just small things like that I picked up on that
and there's
briefly
a lot,
take you out.
But. And there's a lot of blood spilled in this film, and mm-hmm. people should not be waking up. I mean, when he hits her with that crowbar or whatever he hits her with in the car, and there's blood everywhere. I don't know if you're getting up from that. So a few little things like that, but
yeah, just small, but yeah, it's, and it's, and would you recommend, I mean, you mentioned mm-hmm. Doug that you would recommend it. I mean, is there certain audiences that you would recommend it to? I mean, I couldn't tell my mother to go watch this, but
no, there's, well,
oh, I think it's worth seeing.
My mom might be a bit different than your mom. She may actually enjoy this. I would say, because there's so many things that people could look at as negatives. If somebody is not going to watch a movie with subtitles.
The subtitles.
But you can get through it. I mean, if you don't want to, quote unquote, read a movie, there's not much to read. I mean.
Right. There's not a ton of dialogue.
Right.
There is an English dub if you have to, but I hear it's not very good.
Oh, yeah. I heard it. It's really bad. It's really bad. I really would recommend this to people that have an open mind mm-hmm. and people that are interested in even people that enjoy police procedurals. I think
would
probably get a kick out of this because that's sort of happening in the background, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Definitely more background to the, mm-hmm. To the revenge and what's going on with, with Kim. But Yeah, and you do get a look into, like you mentioned, Chul's family, which I think is nice. Mm-hmm. Again, there's not a lot of character development, but
no, but I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I never like films that go out of their way to explain why a sadistic killer is a sadistic killer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it seems forced and it can seem ridiculous at points. I would rather have no idea. I mean, what makes a sociopath a sociopath? Is it environment? Is it nature? Is it born into the person?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather not know.
Yeah, I know, right?
Or not have them try and explain it to me.
Yeah, both ways, really. Right. Yeah, usually it doesn't work.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, and I'll tell you this film might make you lose your appetite a little bit, or at least make you turn vegetarian, especially after those cannibal scenes that you mentioned.
Yeah, watch out when he goes to cut his Achilles tendon. That was a bit rough. That was that was one of the rougher scenes.
And the audio, they do a good job. It's a really good mix too. I mean, if folks watch the Blu-ray, it's 5.1 mm-hmm. surround. There's one point mm-hmm. where the you mentioned the Chul's son was kicking the soccer ball. Nice use of surrounds. On the disc. So it's. Yeah,
definitely. And they're well just, done. We touched on it briefly. I think the performances are amazing mm-hmm. pretty much across the board. I think they're just great. Acting,
really
directing,
engaging.
Writing, cinematography. It really is a great film. And I know it's not a film that's difficult to find. I know that this is relatively easy. I know we're here talking about the plain edition of the film, I guess.
Right.
But you can find this. It really is a strong film, and it sort of blurs the line. Is it a thriller? Is it a horror film? I think it could fit into both categories. So I think it should reach a wide audience, and I think it pretty much has.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's very – I think it was well regarded in mm-hmm. the year, considered one of the top films. I think it was – I don't know if this was IMDb, Doug, mm-hmm. but genres were foreign, of course, but horror, drama, psychological thriller, and crime. So yeah, it certainly
makes
fits
sense.
All those.
Makes
you could
sense.
And like you said, you could call it a serial killer film if you want. You could call it revenge film. You mm-hmm. could call it torture porn. I wouldn't go there, but some people do. So yeah, it fits the bill for all of it. Black comedy, like we mentioned,
definitely
a lot to unpack in the film.
All right, so Mark, if you have nothing else about the film, is there anything that you would like to plug? Maybe a podcast, maybe two. I don't know. But is there anything you want to plug or anywhere people can find you?
Sure. Well, folks can, of course, part of Criterion Close-Up with Aaron West, have a great time talking about Criterion Collection releases there. So you can find Criterion Close-Up at Criterion CU. Doug, Criterion Close-Up mm-hmm. well. You've guessed it on it before. Love having you on there. And folks can find myself on Twitter, Mark Herney. It's Mark, last name is H-U-R-N-E on Twitter. Letterboxd there too.
All right. That's great. And you can follow the show. You can find us on Facebook, of course, and on Twitter. It is at Plain Archive Pod. So next month, I will be joined by a new guest, and we will talk about the American film The Master. So until then, thanks for listening.